Hey, if you're down in the desert floor, anywhere from all about Black Canyon down to about Green Valley, and you've got a Bermuda lawn you like to keep green, now's a great time to fertilize. If you didn't get it done last week, make sure you've got your Bonites Premium Lawn Food. Slow release nitrogen fertilizer will be a quick greening and last up to 6 weeks for a nice green lawn to get you through the summer and add a little cooling effect off your back patio. Bonite products are proudly made in America, and you can find them all over the state, including Mesquite Valley Growers in Tucson, Treeland Nurseries out in Mesa. And, you know, it's a little bit different type of grass, but if you're kind of up in the Flagstaff area and coming up here as we're getting into our growing season there, you can find it at Warner's Garden Center. We're talking with Farmer Greg and Kari Peterson about the...
Kari Spencer.
What'd I say?
Where'd that
Peterson
come from?
Peterson again?
Yeah.
I do that to you. I'm sorry.
That's all
Kari
right.
Kari Spencer. And we're talking, we've been going through canning, we've talked about pickling, mm-hmm. and it's time to get a little bit of dehydrating is another option for preserving our harvest. That's one thing I have never done is dehydrating.
Oh, it's one of my favorite ways to preserve food. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. I'll tell you what, on your way home today, you come by and see me at the Urban Farm, I will lend you one of my dehydrators.
Oh.
Okay.
Well,
and you can start putting those apples
yes.
in the dehydrator.
You got yourself a deal, partner.
Oh, my God. They are so good. I am still eating apple chips. I have just this much left, like, you know, half a pound of apple chips left over from last year's crop. So I make, you know, pounds and pounds and pounds of apple chips, and I eat them all year.
How do you keep them around that long? Mine get eaten straight out of the dehydrator.
Well, see, for me, I'm lucky. It's only me and Heidi. You got a whole crew over there.
I got kids.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll...
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
You'll be there at the Urban Farm around 11:30?
I will.
All right.
And what can we dehydrate?
You can dehydrate just about any fruit or vegetable that you want to dehydrate. But apple chips, yeah, that's a big favorite around my house. You can make trail mix by dehydrating apricots and mm-hmm. peaches and all kinds of different things like that. You can dehydrate tomatoes. And one of the things that my family really loves is to make our own homemade fruit leather.
Oh, yes. Tell us about
fruit
that.
Leather.
Fruit leather. You know, my kids, when they were small, they loved those, you know, fruit roly things from the grocery store, but they had so many preservatives and so much sugar in them. I just mm-hmm. hated to put that in my kids' body. So I started making my own fruit roll-ups at home. I would just puree whatever fruit we had in season, whatever we were harvesting or buying at the moment, and I would spread it out on parchment paper on my dehydrator racks in a real thin layer, let it dry, cut those into strips, roll them up, and my kids would take those to school for their lunches instead of buying them at the grocery store.
And the important thing is you know what's in it.
Exactly what's in it.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the fun part at the end of the day, when you know exactly what you're eating.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I tell people to grow your own food.
And you do it two or three times, and then you go out and you have something like eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I can't have eggs away from the house.
I know, right?
These are yellow. Eggs are orange. These are slimy eggs. I mean, the yolk is like a syrup coming out of the...
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting hungry now, but out of your over easy or your egg in a hole, it's...
Yeah.
Hey, Greg, do you have any kale still hanging around your house, or is it pretty much gone?
It's pretty much gone.
Did you dehydrate it?
I do.
Okay.
You can dehydrate kale chips, kale powder for green drinks.
It's a great thing to do at the end of a season.
Yeah.
To just
take whatever's left
harvest over. Whatever's left over. It's starting to get bitter anyway. You may as well make chips or green powder out of it.
Yeah. You know, one of the cool things that you told me you did recently is citrus.
Oh, yeah. Citrus is great to can. Yeah, especially... At my house, we really like canned grapefruit. It's yummy. And, you know, you can play around with the recipes, not for kids, but put a little alcohol in it if you want and make special dessert toppings and things like that. But, yeah,
that was a canning piece. But don't you dehydrate them as well?
Oh, yeah, you can dehydrate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can dehydrate. You have to take those really thick skins off.
Mm.
And just dehydrate the fruit. It takes a long time. But if you puree it and make like a fruit leather out of it, you kind of have to mix it with something that's not quite as wet, like maybe mix some apple with the grapefruit.
Mm-hmm. That'd be fun.
Yeah, so it's not just, you know, juice running all over your dehydrator. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have a 3-in-1 from the Lehman's catalog of a hand press, and one's a juicer. Mm-hmm. So all of our citrus, we've got the grapefruit, all your basics, oranges, lemons, and you know we'll mix them together, and no two drinks will be the exact same. You know, like that one's got a little bit too much grapefruit. Squeeze a few more oranges in it. Now let's add a little tart. Get a lemon on top of that, or put a little lime in it. It's you know every drink is different, and then now you switch out the plates and it becomes an apple slicer.
Oh.
So you just put your apple on it and slice it, or your potato, and you make fries out of it. And then there's a third plate.
You're going to so love the dehydrator because you just pop the apple in there and slice it and put it in the dehydrator and you're done. That's the most time consuming of thing of dehydrating apples is how do you, because you got to cut them in smaller chunks. So
we got the press, baby.
I don't even core them when I'm dehydrating.
Mm-mm.
Don't need to, especially not a homegrown apple, which doesn't have the really woody core like some of the store-bought apples have.
Now, why would that be? Is it just is that what happens as it's been off the tree and it just starts to
I'm not really sure why that is.
Yeah, good question.
Okay. Well, good to know. Which explains why. I never thought of it. I just thought, well, maybe it's Anne, because I don't remember growing up eating a lot of Anna apples. It seemed like we were a lot more red apples in the house growing up. And I just thought, well, maybe because I've eaten this apple and there's virtually no core on it. I thought, well, let's just be the Anne type, but it might have something to do with it was picked off the tree this morning.
Could be. Could have something to do with size. They're smaller apples than some of the store-bought apples.
All right.
Although they don't necessarily have to be. I've had baseball and even softball-size apples come off of my trees.
You have. That's awesome.
Food Preserve with Farmer Greg from the Urban Farm talking about what to do, because when you do it right, there's more, a tree will provide you more than you can eat when it's right.
Oh,
but you can take benefit of that year round. Like you were saying, you're just now finishing up apple chips from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kari, it sounds like you've got a big enough family, more than one tree would be needed to get you through a full year.
Especially if I'm going to make apple chips, yeah.
Now, do you do anything to the apples? A lot of times when you're canning, you find out why, you know, they sell 10-pound sacks and 15-pound sacks of sugar at the bottom shelf of the grocery store at this time of the year for people going through a lot of peach canning.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to do anything when dehydrating?
You don't have to. Some people just put them in the dehydrator and eat them au naturel. I like to put a little cinnamon and a little bit of sugar, some apple pie spices like nutmeg and those kinds of things on. Then it just tastes like crispy apple pie.
Apple pie all year long.
Yeah, and same thing with the fruit leather. I'll just use an apple pie recipe, and instead of making a pie, I puree it and spread it out on that parchment paper in the dehydrator, and it's apple pie fruit leather.
And we're talking apples in Arizona for the lower desert areas. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned the Golden Dorsets and the Anna apples.
Yep, those are the only two I would plant.
Now, how long before it, you know, the first year, they look like grapes coming off of there. The second year, they might look like quail eggs.
Uh-huh. 3 years. And usually what I tell people to do in the first year and the second year, you know, first year, definitely take off all the fruit, because once you plant the tree, you want to get it established. And if it's making fruit, it's not establishing roots. And then what I tell people on the second year is take off, you know, like 80% of the fruit. But then by the time year three comes around, you're going to get a nice amount of fruit. And then in year 4, 5, 6, 7, you're getting, oh my God, amount of fruit.
That's hard to do.
When
taking off 80% of your fruit, that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
But if you're telling me it's going to make my tree better, I might have to hire the neighbor to do that. I'm a horrible thinner. I see all those little shoots. I'm like, I'm not going to take a single one out. We're going to harvest them all.
Well, here's the big thing about thinning. Most fruit trees can produce so much fruit that what you get is golf ball size apples, number one. And then number two, there's so much fruit on the tree that the branches will break, and you don't want your branches breaking. So what they suggest in the industry is to take the fruit off one fruit every 3 inches. That's what should be left on the tree.
Okay. I can follow one for 3 inches.
Yeah, that's for apples and peaches, but who has time for that?
How do you know when it's ripe?
On the apples?
Yeah.
On the apples. Okay. How do you know when apples are ripe? Right this time of year, they're probably still a little chalky. Have you tasted an apple and it tastes a little bit chalky?
I wouldn't have called that one chalky.
All right. So then it's ready. It's a little tart then, right?
A little tart, yeah.
Yep. Okay, good. So in May, mid-May, the apples are a little bit chalky. And then as they start to ripen, they go tart. And then the longer they stay on the tree, the sweeter they get. So mid to end of June, you'll have some, if there's any left on your tree, you'll have some nice sweet apples on your tree. And the apples that grow here, the Annas and the Dorsets, are great for baking. Mm-hmm. I see an apple pie back there. They're great for cooking. They're great for dehydrating. They're great for apple cider, both hard cider and apple juice. They're great for apple wine.
I do have some friends. I've not done it with them, but they've got an apple press up in the Dewey area.
Uh-huh.
And they always have a big cider juicing, you know, annual event.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to offer, because you've got six trees. I've got fruit crusher and a fruit press that's pretty industrial. So if you want to borrow that, you can borrow that too.
Would be for pressing out cider juices?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad I brought the truck today.
yeah, there you go. I don't know if I'm going to give it to you yet, because I need to do mine.
Still have to do yours. All right. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. We've got a text questions about this kind of goes back to what we were talking last time you were in about mulching. And they spend a lot of time following your mulch recipe and getting it out to the drip line and getting your 6 inches. And said, but I can't keep my chickens from scratching up my mulch. Is there a way to prevent that?
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. So what I do is I put a little fence around the mulch basin.
You do fence them out?
Oh, yeah. You've got to, because you've got to keep them out of your gardens and your mulch basins, because they go nuts. The chickens go nuts in the mulch basins. They're looking for grubs and stuff. And so, yeah, if you come to my tour, I have a tour at the Urban Farm next weekend. You'll see how I did this on one of my fruit trees in the backyard. I have a nice basin around it and a fence around the basin.
And this would look very tacky, but something we've done just as a makeshift, because it's what we had available, and we use it for keeping cats from scratching in the garden, was when you buy a flat of flowers from the nursery, those grates they come in, just turn the grate upside down and set it on there. And they can't get in and scratch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they blow away and they, you know, it would look kind of tacky. But if you had a couple laying around until you could get a little fence built out. How high of a fence do you have to build to keep the chicken from jumping?
I go 3 feet.
3 feet?
Yeah.
Okay.
And assuming that you've pruned one of their wings so they can't fly. That's another story.
Good tip.